7.9.
Brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today.
Yeah. Time now for the Empowerment Hour here on Praise 107.9, presented by the Jacksonville Urban League and First Thursday Jacksonville. And now, here's your host, Dr. Richard Danford of the Jacksonville Urban League and Larry Williams of First Thursday Jacksonville.
Good morning, Jacksonville. Welcome to the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9. I am your co-host, Charmin Leitner, in the studio this morning, and my wonderful co-hosts are away. They are joining us on the line. Larry Williams is in Seattle, Washington, and Dr. Danford is joining us from Georgia. So good morning, guys.
Hey, good morning, John.
Good morning.
Happy Saturday. Good morning, Duval. I guess there's a lot going on around there in the city of Jacksonville, the River City. A nice, calm Seattle, comparatively speaking. So, hey, good morning, Doc. Happy Saturday.
Good morning. I'm actually outside of Atlanta, Georgia, in a place called Stonecrest. I mention it because my cousin actually is the mayor of Stonecrest, Georgia, and this is one of the locations that Amazon is considering, building another headquarters. So they are really vying for just hundreds of jobs that will take place over here on the East Coast. So we're wishing him well. But there are actually two places in Atlanta that's vying for the Amazon headquarters. So that's where I am this morning.
Okay. All right. So, well,
and plus the family reunion.
Oh, okay. So you're out there with family.
Oh, yes.
All right. So you're having a lot of fun.
It's a family trip.
It's a family affair.
And it's hot here as it is in Jacksonville.
Okay.
I won't mention that it's a nice 60 degrees here this morning in Seattle and expecting a high of 70. So that's good.
Yeah. So, well, we want to talk about a little bit of what's going on in Jacksonville, some of the hot topics. And we see that Reggie and Katrina Brown were appointed attorneys on yesterday.
Yeah, that's very interesting, gentlemen. And this has been a case that has been in the news for quite a while, and it's really interesting to see that both of them have accepted court-appointed attorneys. And the case is being tried by one of the top prosecutors there in Jacksonville, and he's tried like 30 cases and won all of them, and criminal cases, and he was the guy who sent Corrine Brown to prison. So, obviously they feel that the state and the government feel they have a solid case against those two. They both pleaded not guilty. I'm a firm believer in, innocent until proven guilty. However, we always know that when it comes to people of color, that is not always the case. So we need to be cognizant and aware of what's going on around us. And as public officials, we need to make sure that we're doing due diligence and in the way that we carry out our elected offices, and not just there for the ride, so to speak, but making sure that you're doing everything that's possible to one, you know, represent the people, your constituents in your district or wherever, whomever you're representing, and do it, you know, above board, and don't try to take shortcuts. That's the fastest way to end up in court, is by doing things that are not necessarily legal. So whether they're innocent or guilty, mm-hmm. the court will decide. But I think it's time for you know, them to accept responsibility and do what needs to be done to accept the you know, the, what they say, the crime, that if you can't do the crime, do the time, don't commit the crime. Whether they are guilty or not, that's up to the courts to decide. But another side note is that the newly elected city council president is on, has been installed, and that occurred Thursday evening. And I'm sure pomp and circumstance with, you know, a lot of the folks there on the city council. So congratulations and a great job done by former city council president Anna Broche. Well, tomorrow will be today's official, but she did a great job in that short term, and it was especially great for me to see a woman of color, and a woman, period, you know, leading the Jacksonville yes. City Council. We need more diversity on the council, and we also need some council people that are willing to go in and represent their districts, you know, in a rightly manner.
Yes, and those were that was an appointment that was made, the city council president. There are also a lot of elections that are coming up, so we want our listeners to encourage them to please vote, and that's a part of the due diligence to research the candidates, you know, what they stand for, what they're going to do for your community or your district, and make a wise decision on who we vote in, because there are a lot of appointments on the local level as well as a national level. So, Dr. Danford, what did you want to say?
Well, what I want to say is that they have not stopped shooting in Jacksonville. You know, this past week we had we've had some shootings, and of course they stopped printing the homicide tracker for a while. Maybe they're attempting to catch up with the numbers, but you know, we had the shooting up in the Maryland D.C. area, Larry, and you know, I don't think. There's too much we can, well, let me say, I don't believe there's a whole lot that anybody's going to do about, you know, what's going on as it relates to folks just shooting each other. It is just unbelievable, and it is not located.
Now, Dr. Danford, what was that shooting again, just for our listeners? That was the shooting at the newspaper?
Yes, yes, and I believe, Larry, you probably have more information on that.
Well, yeah.
What kind of weapon did he use?
The shooting that occurred in Annapolis, Maryland, which is outside of Baltimore, is horrific. You know, we're just, you know, gone gun crazy in this country here lately, and you know, we have to be, you know, it's our right, yes, to carry arms and bear arms and so forth. But you know, do it intelligently. You know, it's the only way. There are more ways to solve, you know, an argument or something that you feel that is digging at you from the past. Someone wrote or said something negative about you, and you know, does it require taking five lives? I mean,
right.
You know, as a journalist and as a media person, you know, I'm not feeling good about the activity, you know, that is taking place, especially, you know, all the hype against the media here and you know, framing them to be in us, to be vicious people when we're only doing our jobs and reporting the news. And that's not something that, you know, people should be taking offense to. They should be happy that there's a mechanism available to give them objective reporting and getting the news to them in a manner that succinct, but at the same time, you know, mm-hmm. it's relevant. So right. We can't go around just shooting people because we disagree with them. You know, it takes us back to the Wild Wild West or something.
Well, you're right, Larry. No one should be shot because they are offended. You know, we can be offended by media, by what people say or do on a daily basis, but that's an extreme, and no one is justified, you know, even if they feel some type of way about it in that type of response. Yes.
Absolutely, John. And they're making themselves the judge, the jury, and the executioner.
Yes. Well, we know who that is, who's the one who sits on the throne. And we're going to take a break. We're going to hear the song Speak the Name, and it's by Corinne Hawthorne.
The atmosphere is changing. Nothing stays the same. Heaven is waiting for the mention of the name. The Spirit is moving, burning like a flame, healing the broken by the one we proclaim. Raise it up, fill the sky. Chains will fall, mountains. Of shame, miracles unfolding at the mention of the name. Now darkness is fleeing, mercy raining down, healing waters flowing as our lips make the
All right, yes, speak the name of Jesus, the name above all names. Welcome back to the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9. I'm your co-host, Jarmin Leitner, president of First Thursday Jacksonville and Harvest Intervention Services. And joining me on the line are my co-hosts, Larry Williams out in Seattle, CEO and founder of Anchor Global Business Consulting and First Thursday Jacksonville, and Dr. Richard Danford, who's outside of Atlanta, Georgia this morning, president of the Jacksonville Urban League. All right, guys, how's it going? We were talking about a lot of things.
It's going well.
We were talking about a lot of things off the air, and we wanted to go a little bit more on a national level, and in the Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy will retire, and that gives President Trump the authority to appoint someone in that position. And that's coming up soon, isn't it, Larry?
Yes, ma'am. And you know what? It's very interesting. I was reading through the USA Today newspaper this morning, and it's talking about President Trump's opportunity here to nominate a new Supreme Court justice. And he's moving swiftly to fill the seat that will be vacant by July 9th, Doc and Jarmin. And he says he has a list of 5 to 7 finalists, and 2 of them are women. But, and I quote from President Trump, "We have great people, highly talented, brilliant, mostly conservative judges." So he said he has, that's his criteria, highly talented, brilliant, mostly conservative. That's an interesting comment from the president.
Okay, so
he said he'll be making that announcement on the 4th of July. I mean, after the 4th of July, July 9th.
Okay, after the 4th of July. Okay, so for education purposes, we want to understand what does that look like? Like, how does an appointment of a conservative in this position change the dynamics of what's going on nationally and trickle down locally as far as decisions?
Well, Doc probably has a different opinion,
I know
but mine
you,
is
this. We currently have 5 conservative judges on the Supreme Court. As a matter of fact, they ruled in the president's favor on the Muslim ban in terms of of not allowing certain countries to come into into the country from various countries. So this appointment is extremely important, and what we're going to have is even more conservative thoughts as well as policies. So we need to get ready for an interesting ride, because things will continue to change and move to the right. So with what's happening at the border and the way they've locked up babies and kids and other separated families, we're in for an interesting ride in this country. We need to get ready. It's not just a lot of hot air coming out of Washington. This is serious business. People's lives will be impacted by the decision.
Mm-hmm.
And so the candidates should be vetted properly, and they should take time, and because these folks are appointed for life.
Wow. Wow. Yes, this is not reality TV. This is reality.
Well, President Trump appears to be taking it like it's reality TV. I mean, you know, how in the heck do you vet Supreme Court candidates in 2 weeks? I mean, and as Doc pointed out, you know, this is serious stuff. This isn't something that we're playing with here. You know, the Supreme Court decisions are the law. I mean, that's the highest law in the land. So judges, as they make these decisions, it impacts us greatly, not only today and tomorrow, but for generations to come. It's taken years to get some of the things that the right to vote, even, the Board of Education decrees that the court has issued in favor of blacks and other people of color. These things can all be changed in this generation and by these appointees. So, you know, pointed out, it's also, there are five conservative judges, but Justice Anthony Kennedy has always been the swing vote, because he would vote based on a lot of things on law, and you know, not just voting to go along as Justice Clarence Thomas does most of the time. You know, just because it's presented by a conservative view doesn't mean that it's right. So you shouldn't just vote, you know, to say that I'm voting with the president or anyone else. You should vote based on law. And that's what is so important with this appointment. And that's why Congress has to be the check and balance here, to make sure that whomever is appointed is thoroughly vetted through their process, and not, you know, rubber stamping whomever President Trump nominates.
Right, correct. And with appointments, you know, as U.S. citizens, we don't have any control over that. But as we mentioned, elections are coming up, and what we do have control over is voting for the people who represent our communities and our districts. And we have to do research and, as we stated, look into what they stand for in the law and make decisions based on that. So it's very important. We encourage you to become more educated about voting and utilize your right to vote.
And gentlemen, everything is, all politics are local, as we like to say in the media. And, you know, at the same time, you know, we'd urge people to get out and vote. But I think one of the things that that means more to me is understanding who you're voting for and why. You know, not yes. just going on what you or I or Doc says, but do your own research. And if you don't know, you know, get educated, you know, participate in forums and go down to City Hall and listen to what's being said, you know, on Tuesdays, because those things are affecting your lives every day. You know, the yes. Supreme Court might not hear something that's going to affect you personally every day, but the people that are representing you every day at City Hall are. And so that's where you need to be, including holding accountable the mayor and the sheriff and all of the elected officials in Duval County.
Is that include
get serious about this?
Is that including school board candidates?
Yes, they're public representatives as well. They're elected to office. Anyone that's elected to office needs to be held accountable and responsible for the decisions that they make.
Right, and the people, the residents, have to do the research on each one of those and find out more about it. Become more educated. Everybody, they don't know, they don't understand the process, and you know, and sometimes, you know, people shy away from things that they don't understand, but we have to become educated.
Now it's time to get comfortable, get uncomfortable, because this is affecting you. People don't see it. All the things that's going on behind the scenes in D.C. and elsewhere, where folks' lives are being handled, including Medicaid, you know, the changes that they're trying to implement there. The Supreme Court set back down a Kentucky decision based on, you know, work to Medicaid, you know, where you have to have a job or do 20 hours of volunteerism in the community per week, 20 hours per week, in order to receive health care and you know, and then the education. All of these things are being affected. The food stamp program, SNAP, you know, is being under fire
yes.
now, because the administration wants to do the same thing that they're talking about, having people work for their meals, so to speak. That's ridiculous.
And even
if they're poor.
The disability, even the SSI, there are going to become
Absolutely.
Changes to in stricter guidelines on even receiving that for young children on up to the elderly. So,
but you got 1.6 million people in the state of Florida, I believe, that's on public assistance. And I think they identified maybe 200,000 that might be doing something illegal. So you're going to throw everybody out under the bus because of a few people, you know, go after the ones that are guilty, and stop trying to, you know, make a cookie cutter issuance of need to the poor.
Yes, and there is a silver lining in all this. We can just take responsibility and ownership for what's going on today, right now, in our homes and households, and make the best decisions and the wise decisions that will ultimately, in a positive way, affect our community. So we are going to take a break. Steve, are we ready? Are we ready to transition? All right. So we have Sweet Victory by Tripley. This is Praise 107.9, the Empowerment Hour.
Where my crown was, I'll be weak, but I'm alive from the dust until dawn. Yeah, I'll survive, 'cause I got sweet victory. Nobody can take it from me. Sweet victory, 'cause I got sweet victory. Yeah,
you see me live. I know you see me living. You can't tell on these CDs, well, bro, I'm knee-deep in it. I'm waiting in my weakness, he may be deep in it. Happy lying through my teeth to say I don't resent it. Even as I write these lines, I'm close to tears. My body ain't been working right for 7 years. So miss me with that, keep your chin up, try to smile. Bro, I'm 26, I should feel better by a mile. Keep all your anecdotes and cute quotes. I'll pass on cliches for true hopes.
I feel thorns where my crown was. I'll be weak, but I'm alive from the dust until dawn. Yeah, I'll survive, 'cause I got sweet victory. Nobody can take it from me. Sweet victory, 'cause I got sweet victory.
To the ceiling, feeling good, we gon' make it to the finish. Yeah,
sweet victory.
You hear me, Allie, if you feel me. Yeah, we still running, even though we living.
Yeah, sweet victory.
'Cause we win it, yeah, you know we win it. Even though we win it, we still in it.
Yeah, sweet victory.
'Cause we win it, yeah, you know we win it. Now we living.
Sweet yeah. Victory.
They see me on the stage, they like that boy the man. They hear play on them songs, they clapping in them stands. They like, I bet you got a lot of them stacks from rubber bands. So when I say it's been a hard few years, they think I'm playing. But y'all don't know my life, boy. Y'all don't know my life, boy. Y'all don't know what it's been like on my wife. Don't know my fight, boy. Been in them trenches, steady trying to fight my foes. And when I couldn't fight no more, he roll me low, low. He roll me low, I know I can't beat it.
I feel thorns where my crown was. I'll be weak, but I'm alive from the dust until dawn.
Cheers to the ceiling, feeling good, we gon' make it to the finish.
Sweet victory!
You hear me? Holly if you feel me. We still running even though we're limping.
Sweet victory!
'Cause we win it. Yeah, you know we win it. Even though we win it, we still in it.
Sweet victory!
'Cause we win it. Yeah, you know we win it, now we living.
Sweet victory, yeah.
They like, I hear you talking wins, but I see your losses. You celebrating crowns, but I see your crosses. That's the paradox, it don't fit in your merit backs. You might not understand it, you out in this pair of socks. The victor ain't the one that's winning, seventh inning. Trophies don't go to the ones that got a good beginning. When I say I win, I don't mean to stay, I'm in. I mean that day when the grace got fade out then. I'm winning 'cause I reign with him.
You made
Right, we are victorious on this Saturday morning and every day. Welcome back to the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9. I am your co-host, Jarmin Leitner, in the studio, and joining me on the line is Larry Williams out in Seattle and Dr. Richard Danford right outside of Atlanta, Georgia. And guys, I wanted to talk about the state union who they're seeking to lawmakers to increase teacher pay. So there's a push now for this teacher increase, which you know, personally I feel is long overdue, and 100% support
amen,
of it.
Amen to that. But I know your reasons are more personal than mine. But I think our teachers are grossly underpaid for the job that they're required to do in helping our youngsters get an education in whatever capacity that they serve in the school district. And hopefully, you know, the new superintendent will be and lockstep with them, and as far as making that happen and making it bring it to fruition. It's interesting to see that we hear that school districts are over budgeted and need to make cuts, but at the same time we're talking about having raises. Although I'm for teacher raises and that sort of thing, I think we need to be cognizant and aware of what we can afford and what we can't, and making sure that the teachers are getting taken care of. If they probably could have gotten a raise if they hadn't put extra safety patrols in the schools as required by the state. But anyway, yes, that's a whole other subject.
Well,
I know
we're
talking about the school board and you know, the elections that are coming up. Again, another opportunity to take advantage of electing people who can represent your district. You are in a district school. A city of Jacksonville voters and constituents. So go and learn who your school board representative is and find someone who can represent you and your kids and your family effectively.
Yes, on Monday night, I believe the school board candidates, some of them introduced themselves to voters. So definitely.
If you don't vote, don't complain. Don't vote, don't complain, because that's your opportunity to elect who you want in office who's going to adequately represent you and the people in that district. So, you know, you can sit at home and on the couch and play couch potato, okay, but after the fact, it's too late, as we can see right now, that what's happening on a national level. All politics are local. I think Dr. Danford has a guest out there in outside of Atlanta. Doc, what's going on?
Yes, we're here at our family reunion in Lithonia, Stonecrest, Georgia, and I'm sitting here with my brother-in-law, Gene Beverly. He's in occupational medicine. Since we're talking about education, I wanted him to just mention a few things in terms of the knees with the medical concerns that we have in trying to recruit people of color into that field. I wanted him to just make a couple of comments about it. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning to everyone once again. I would like to talk to you about a proposal. What if I were to offer you a position coming out of college with your starting salary somewhere between $75,000 and maybe $90,000 a year? You're not a basketball player nor an entertainer, but coming out of college and your starting salary is somewhere in the low 90s, would you be willing to accept that? I think that most people would.
The
things that I'm talking about is the mid-level health care providers, such as physician assistants and nurse practitioners, which we don't have very many people that are of African-American descent within those fields.
Right.
And I really would like to bring exposure to those professions that are out there and which can help our people greatly by providing primary care. Primary care to our people.
And you said those are physician assistants and nurse practitioners. We are underrepresented.
That's
yes, we see that a lot. We're in the healthcare field. I'm president of Harvest Intervention Services, and we, you know, collaborate with, physicians, and we visit lots of physician offices, and we don't see, you know, a lot of diversity in those positions, as well as other therapy, you know, positions. So we're just underrepresented in some of the higher level professional job opportunities when it comes to healthcare.
That is
so
true.
I recently taught a class at a local college that he's working on implementing.
Wait a minute. Both of you all are talking. Hold on a moment. Larry, I couldn't hear what you said.
I asked, was the doctor proposing a proposal there, or is that something that he's working on up there in the Georgia area to implement?
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Yes, yes, you can answer. He was asking, did you hear the question?
I heard the question. Okay. What it is that we want to bring exposure to those career fields all over nationwide, and that there is a lack of African-Americans or people of color within those fields. I recently taught a class at a local school, a local university, and within that class of physician assistants, there are maybe approximately 50 students. Out of those 50 students, there were two African Americans that was in that class, and I think there were maybe two other ethnic people that were in that class. But we had that class majority was not us. And the problem is there's a lack of exposure. We hear of nurses and we hear of doctors, but we don't hear of mid-level providers who have provided a great deal of care for the people of this country. The only problem is that we don't have exposure to our high school students to let them know that there is an alternative to going through med school, such as the mid-level provider courses, such as the PAs and the nurse practitioners.
Okay. All right. So is that something that you do? You do that on a local level? I guess Larry was asking, do you also, you know, provide exposure in Georgia? And if you do, what are you implementing in order to expose these professions?
What we have is we have a few of the physician assistants here that actually go to high schools.
Okay.
And talk to the high school students about alternative career fields in medicine.
Okay.
And so that's where we are with it now. But in reality, it needs to be larger, and it needs to be talked to. It needs to be exposed more in our high school levels across the board.
So it sounds like there needs to be more physicians that will partner with the school boards to bring in someone to represent exposing those mid-level professions to our young people. All right. Well, thank you so much for sharing this morning. We appreciate that.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Yeah. And gentlemen, this is just a quick reminder that coming up in the next segment, we will have the Entrepreneur Corner, and encourage those that are out there that are listening and own a business or have an event that's going on this weekend. I'm thinking just now is that next Wednesday is this coming Wednesday is the 4th of July.
That's correct.
And time flies, doesn't it, when you're having fun?
Yes, you're having a lot of fun out in Seattle. You know, we're working hard over here in Jacksonville.
Look, whether I'm in Seattle, Jacksonville, or Timbuktu, it never doesn't make any difference. I work hard every day.
Yes, you do.
And I hope that others, you know, follow suit, because you know we only here for a short period of time. We don't know how long that time is. So we need to take advantage of every opportunity we have.
Yes, let's not be couch potatoes, right? Yeah, let's get up and be active.
Well, just like the doctor mentioned, Dr. Danforth's guest over there, you know, we need to be more vigilant about what we're doing and the types of advocacy we're providing in our communities. Not only, you know, he mentioned the healthcare field, and that's something that you're aware of, that there are a shortage of individuals, of people of color, especially African-Americans in those fields. And whereas everyone can't be a doctor or a lawyer, they can certainly be supportive in those fields. And as he pointed out, there's a lot of opportunity to gain good paying jobs in those professions. And you know, any type of work that you're doing in the healthcare field, education is needed in our communities, and whether if you're being underpaid or not, you know, you accept the responsibility.
Right. And those professions, all of those professions should be more highly esteemed. And like you said, whether it is or not, you know, we accept the responsibility of that position. So, yes, it needs to be more exposure across the board.
Well, it's just like the STEM programs, German, you know, we need more representation in that. We need more representation in every field, you know, because it's not as diverse as it should be.
Yes, Larry, we need more mental health counselors, right, Yarman?
Yes, we need more speech therapists. So we need more physical therapists, occupational therapists. Yes, counselors, behavior analysts, and developmental therapists. I mean, we're unaware. I believe developmental therapists are very underrepresented in the developmental and behavioral healthcare field because not a lot of people of ethnicity know about that opportunity, and it's a great opportunity to service young children. And if you want more information, you can contact Harvest Intervention Services at 595-6516. And we are going to take a break. This is the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9. Thank you.
The new Praise 107.9, the Anybody ultimate ever feel gospel like experience.
Starting over. Yes, I guess. Look at today like
Welcome back to the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9. I'm your co-host, Jarman Leitner, in the studio. And joining me on the line is Larry Williams and someone who's sleepy, it sounds like. Larry Williams joining us from Seattle, and Dr. Danford joining us from from Atlanta, right outside of Atlanta, Georgia. Dr. Danford's out there having some fun at a family reunion, and I'm sure since it's summertime, we have a lot of our listeners who are traveling and you know, swimming and going to pools, and we just encourage you to be safe. Also, remember, this is our Entrepreneur Corner, and if you want to call in and give a shout-out to your small business or any upcoming events this weekend and this upcoming week, it is the 4th of July on Wednesday, you can call 296-2251. That's 296-2251. Yes, and on a local level, but just a topic that we continue to see happening. Is that Dr. Danford? Okay. I thought one of you wanted to chime in. Okay, so we wanted to touch on the police officer. I don't know if you all heard about another police officer that's in the news for pulling over his daughter's boyfriend. Now, this is a racial incident. The young man's African American, dating a police officer's daughter. So he pulls him over and actually arrest him, but he did not know that the daughter was in the back seat of the car. So when he returned to the car, and all this is caught on the camera, on the police camera, and he's being very aggressive verbally, and just telling the guy, you know, what he needs to do, and the young man is cooperating. When the father sees the daughter in the back seat, he pulls her out of that car, allows the young man to get back in his car, and shoves his daughter into the back seat of the patrol car and detains her. And the entire time she is screaming, "Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this?" She doesn't understand why her dad is mistreating her and her boyfriend. So I just wanted to cover on that. You know, we see a lot of interracial couples, and we have the right to choose who we want to befriend and be in relationships with, whether it's personal or business, and no one should have the right, whether it's our parent or not, to behave that way.
Yeah, I guess I kind of agree with that, John. And it's an interesting conundrum there that a police officer again is taking the law into his own hands, and just because it's his daughter, he feels that he's above the law and can again make decisions that affect people's personal lives. It's just pathetic the direction that we're going with law enforcement and other decrees of justice throughout our society, and it all permeates from the top. And when we're led with a distinct persona, it permeates down, and people become emboldened as the leadership dictates. And I think it's something that we have to address, and it has to be done on a local level, I know, but doggone it, it sure is hard to sit here and watch all the things that are occurring around the country as it affects our daily lives and indirectly affecting us. So
how on a local level can you do something about people in positions of authority that abuse that authority these extremes that we continue to see
with the police officers? We can't. I mean, the only way that we can is by electing sheriffs and mayors that are aware and cognizant of what's going on around them and don't have their heads stuck in the sand, saying that their officers are legit and wouldn't do these type of things. So hold everybody accountable. That's the way you do it. The subjectivity of what's going on, it's the blatant fact that this person felt that they could do that with impunity is what disturbs me more than anything else. And this is the Empowerment Hour. This is the Entrepreneur Corner. So if you have a business or an event that's coming up, I know most of us are getting prepared for the 4th of July. It's coming up in the middle of the week, so that should be very interesting. But a lot of folks are on vacation, and as we can tell by the calls that we're getting from the entrepreneurs out there. They must be on vacation, too. I've never seen so many people so wealthy that they can take vacations and run a business. But that's on there.
Well, anyway.
Jarman, we want to encourage people to be careful with the fireworks. You notice a lot of tents have been set up around town to sell fireworks. So on the 4th of July, you're going to have a lot of shootings.
Yes, be careful with the weapon. Well, that too, Dr. Danford. Weapons, people shoot guns on the 4th of July.
They shoot them up in the air, but they don't realize that the bullets fall from the sky downwards.
Yes.
And could kill someone. And we've had occasions where a little boy was shot in the top of his head from a bullet that went up in the air and came down. So we want them to, let's just be careful with all these fireworks. And I bet it's going to be interesting to see if our shot spotter technology that the bear has, if it will differentiate between
all the shots, huh?
Larry said a lot of good the shot spotter is doing.
Huh?
Well, yeah,
I'm sure it's
doing some good, but we can't really bring closure to all of the shootings that we've had. I mean, it's unbelievable at the number of open cases that they're unable to figure out who. I mean, people know who are doing the shooting, but they won't say anything. So we've got to find a way where people will feel more comfortable bringing stuff to light in terms of who's using these guns and who's shooting these folks. And
well, I think that the people that are asking the questions about who shot who took the shot aren't as the folks aren't as comfortable with them as they are the shooters. So you know, if you're a person living in those neighborhoods and you know who did it, you know, you're not going to tell because you're not going to get protection from the authorities. So you know, it's a catch 22 as far as residents in those areas are concerned. Who are you more afraid of? And I think it simply boils down to that.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's interesting.
But we do need to be safe and sane on the 4th of July and the days prior to and afterwards. You know, as Doc said, there is a such thing called gravity. So what goes up will come down. And when you're firing those guns and things up in the air, just remember it could come back down and nail you in the head. So be cautious and aware of what's going on around us. I mean, you know, have fun, but, you know, do it with grace and you know, let everyone else enjoy it also. We don't want to have an emergency room full of people on the 5th of July.
I actually, growing up, I think one year I was in home from college. So, you know, God's grace, always with me all my life. I tell you, we were outside and my friends were shooting up in the air. But at that time, I had no idea, wasn't conscious, you know, or even thinking about the bullets coming back down until I went home and told my dad about the incident. And that's when he told me. So, definitely don't put yourself in that situation, especially if you heard us this morning on the Empowerment Hour. Now you know better. So
right. Absolutely. And again, I just want to wish all our listeners a happy 4th of July. And, you know, we appreciate them listening all the time. And you know, please, as Thomas said, take heart. You know, we love you guys and want to have you back here listening to us on next Saturday morning at 8 o'clock on the Empowerment Hour. But enjoy yourselves. Have a great week and a great holiday.
Well, Larry, we do have a caller. So we have one who has called in, a caller on the line. All right. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I just wanted to chime in on what the gentleman said about exposure.
Mm-hmm.
I run a small business, and I would employ young guys when they would come home from college.
Okay.
And what stuff stuck out profoundly to me was this one young fella. He said that we went to a real high society area in Mandarin Jacksonville,
mm-hmm.
and he said, you know, it was meant for me to work with you today, because he said when he went and saw that area of town and saw how well the folks were doing, he said that just gave him that extra push to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
So now he's moved on. He's gotten his bachelor's and master's degree, and along with the doctor was saying earlier, mm-hmm. he has a master's degree in mental illness training.
So, well, we thank you so much for calling in. We have to wrap up. We have about a minute left in the show, but we thank you so much for calling in and sharing your story.
All right, have a good day. That's an